it's that time again. It's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday night. You're listening to The Ooze. I'm T.C. Downey, and with me on the line is Jeanette. Jeanette, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Right on. So just before the music cracked, we were talking about how you were so 80s, and I'm interested to hear about your 80s-ness.
Oh, I am, and pretty much every aspect. Like, an example, how I view the internet. Like, I view it as like a game. Like, it's not real, like at all. Like, I don't know. Like, that's one of them. Music I listen to, clothes I wear. Like, I don't know. I have possessed a jean jacket every year of my life, pretty much since I was about 8 or 9 years old. Yeah. And
All you need is some leg warmers and some skinny pants and teased hair, and I think you would fit perfect.
Oh no, yeah, no, I own those too. Those the leggings came back in style this year, so yeah, I anxiously bought those up. Yeah, no, I've had a jean jacket every year. I even in the 90s they weren't in style very much. I used to just buy them at Goodwill and stuff because you couldn't find them anywhere.
Right on. Well, I'm thinking I might change tonight's intro to "Girls Just Want to Have Fun," so that way. We can go fully with that whole 80s semi-punk rock or almost metal type deal. And
I had pitched "I'm Just a Girl" for the Fallen edition when we were doing that, by No Doubt, but they wound up coming up with their own thing.
Right on. Well, I'm kind of glad we buried the Fallen edition. What has emerged from it? It's much better, much better. The Cyber Riot edition just is incredible. It's raw, it's gritty, it's, seems kind of without direction, but at the same point, very focused. So, it's anarchy all by itself.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely agree. I'm glad that I really think that Wicked is the best thing that happened to that edition. He's definitely, he took it in a different direction than we were going, and it's a lot more fun. Like, for me, this is my more serious edition and philosophical, and it gets deep, and that one is, a lot more fun to do. And honestly, I'm glad that the Fallen edition died just because, it seemed to be, I enjoyed doing it a lot, but I don't think that people enjoyed doing it as much, or listening to it as much as, I enjoyed doing it, so.
Right on. Well, the one thing that definitely suffering is the loss of Betty Doom. I think, I really think she had a sharp mind, and she made a nice contrast to you and Lexi, so. It kind of really worked out well. There was a nice balance there, but this shit just isn't for everybody, so.
Yeah, I miss her quite a bit, yeah. Yeah, I think the three of us, that's a really good combination. Then it kind of got rocky there for a while, but it's developed into something that's, if you had asked me what that edition would turn into, I would have never expected it to go to this direction. And I know that, Wicked's talk to you about that he wants to switch it up now to do 30-minute express editions twice a week on news topics.
Right on. Well, as far as I'm concerned, and no, he hasn't talked to me about it, but you can pass the news right along to Sean that he's free to do what he wants to with the show and switch up the scheduling. However, he's intelligent enough to know how to go in back behind the scenes here and change things up as he needs them to be. But the one thing that I am going to put my foot down on and say, if he's going to make any change at all, then goddamn it all, he's going to update the shows and time section of the oozeradio.wordpress.com blog and get that shit in there and on there. I almost want to bury my foot in his ass, but he's been doing too good in his math class for me to do it. So.
Oh, no, I noticed that. None of the other hosts filled out a brief description of them, but me and you and Jason. that was our homework assignment. I did that same day.
Right. I think I'm going to make it a required course from here on out. No longer is it homework. It's 70% of your fucking grade. So.
Yeah.
See how
yeah,
that works out.
Yeah, it's a I put something over there a couple weeks ago. I'm trying to, I write a lot, so it's difficult for me to find something that I don't know would kind of fit there. What I need to do is break down and just see. This is the thing that I need to do. I need to get really, really disciplined about what I'm doing online because I don't have as much time as I used to. So I'm sort of I'm too erratic about it, I think, and I need to get more disciplined. And, like, the Ooze blog, that's something like, I could blog about shows. There's topics there. I don't know why I don't do that, but.
Yeah, to be honest with you, you're not the only person who kind of lacks in that department. In my own personal defense, I've been busy doing shit in the real, but I've certainly neglected it. I post more than anybody else, as far as I know, on that blog. Well, except for maybe Jason, but I don't think anybody can post more than Jason. Jason's like a fucking blog machine.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of blog machines, if folks who are tuning in want to go check it out at creativeoddityestudios.com, there's a new button on the left-hand side, Blogosphere. It turns out that apparently Jason's not the only person who's kind of blog crazy. There happens to be me, too. So what has happened is he put up a nice little page with links to all the blogs that we're currently working on. And there are a couple that I have worked on in the past, but neglected that he left out. But in total, what we're looking at is, looks like 10 blogs fueled by the Creative Oddities writing machine.
Wow.
Jason and myself. So, yeah, it's pretty fucking intense. I mean, now keep in mind, like 7 of those are Jason. So. I mean, for a dude who doesn't have much time, it's because he's typing when he's not fucking and breathing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. And then YouTube videos and everything on top of it. Like, I don't even do YouTube. Like, I don't know how y'all find the time to do all that. Like. I'll go over there and look and be like, I can't believe I find time to do videos on top of everything else.
Yeah, so for me, not so much. I mean, my last video actually aired about a year and a half ago. Well, my last serious video, not where I was telling everybody what's going on with the Ooze, but where I was actually talking about some kind of subject matter or another. But a lot of that, honestly, on my part, is a intentional. Non-blogging on YouTube, if that makes sense. I haven't put videos up on purpose, mainly because I want people to come here to the Blog Talk Radio and listen to the shit that I have to say, and it's free form without actually having to stare at my ugly Cro-Magnon forehead and listen to me blabber. Free of facial expressions, which tend to kind of go hand in hand when I'm talking. So I think beyond that, mainly really, because honestly, after 3 to 4 to 5 or whatever number of hours it is that I put in actually talking up on this motherfucker, I don't really have shit to say. It gets hard, man. I mean, at this point, I've logged hundreds of hours talking
mm-hmm.
about, well, shit. So,
yeah, I don't think I'm at hundreds yet, but no, I certainly know what you mean, where I feel like I'm I don't know, like, and I've only been on the internet, like, really active over a year, but a lot of times I feel like I'm just, like, retreading old ground, or, you know, like, I'll listen to a show and be like, didn't I say that 2 weeks ago? You know, like, there's no new material, like, that's it. But, yeah, no, I know what you mean. It gets harder and harder and harder to find new avenues, news and directions to go in. It's harder than it looks, actually.
Right. Well, it was Plato back in, I think, like 500 BC or something like that. I can't remember what year Plato was actually there. Of course, this bottle of Calypso spiced rum probably hasn't helped my memory much tonight. But Plato said that there were no new ideas under the sun. And that was, at least two millennia ago. So if there's no new ideas under the sun then, I mean, you can imagine how fucking bare the bones have been picked 2,000 years later.
Oh, yeah. And, it, you know, I reach a point where, like, you know, and I've diversified and I'm now looking into other things. But I don't know. It all just, I don't know. Everything just sort of seems the same to me anymore. And I don't know. I think I'm just getting apathetic at this point, which is not good because I've never really been that way.
Well, you know, honestly, I used to think that apathy was like the greatest sin. And I say sin loosely, obviously, but the greatest wrong that a man, woman, whatever, could do to himself to become apathetic. But on the other hand, I think that there is a balance that's kind of struck there when you reach that state of apathy. And that balance is that, well, if you're apathetic, that means that there's no new opposition. So it's easy to understand how people reach apathy. And in some ways, apathy can be an ideal state. I mean, because let's face it, if we were sword drawn and swinging 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, well, I mean, fuck, we'd be tired in no time. There's no rest. There's no room to breathe. There's no ability to actually begin to formulate not new ideas, but different ideas. And I think that's really what's key here is bringing these different ideas forward. And by different, what I mean, obviously, is accepted outside of the social norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's got their... Go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, no, yeah, then there's a lot of things that are outside of the cultural norm. It's not, you know, it's actually a pretty deep well at the end of the day when you really look at it, the things that sit outside of it. I've been looking into feminism, oddly enough, recently, because, like, I've always said, like, I'm not a feminist. I can't stand, you know, the feminist movement in general. But then, like, there's all this, like, there's, like, subcultures within the feminist movement and subcultures of subcultures, and it actually winds up getting really interesting, and it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, it was sort of funny because it started at home where, like, I was telling my husband something, and I was talking to him about the feminist thing, and I was like, well, you know, they sort of blame, and I was explaining, I was like, well, like, if you change the word Magian with patriarchy, I said when I was explaining that to you before, I said you could sort of, you know, follow along with the feminist stuff, and he was like, okay, that's weird. And then, I don't know, I wound up putting an avatar up, just, like, as a joke, sort of, which is Rosie the Riveter, and man, I got more shit on Finn for having that avatar than I've ever had for having any other avatar on. And, like, I thought it was kind of funny because I was like, I didn't even realize that people, like, thought of feminism as sort of like a knee-jerk reaction. I like that thing.
Right on. Well, I mean, obviously, if you're getting shit, you're doing something right. So it is what it is. And You know, I'm thinking about this, and this was probably a bad idea to come on to the night show because there's most of a bottle of booze in me, and I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm not afraid to say what I've got to say. So, not that I'm afraid to say what I've got to say when I'm not. But more or less, I guess I'm a little blunter. I'm not as eloquent of a speaker. And as just a little side note here, I let everybody know that for missing tonight's show, they suck VS style, and that's right up on the front page of Sin right now. So,
I like that.
and VS, I may mean the Trailer Park Pole Dancer or the Cheesehead
Physical
Aqua
point, we
Man
don't know.
wannabe.
The other one, yeah. I suggest some other
It could be
VSs
either.
out there.
You see, this is what happens when you add alcohol to an already malevolent spirit. It just gets more violent.
I like
So,
that.
couple things that haven't been really discussed up until this point here on the Ooze, but I thought I would bring them up. The first is the fact that the forms on Sin were down for what was it, about 36 hours,
Something like that, yeah.
and the number of junkies that went into withdrawal was just ridiculous. I mean, the whining on the front page was terrible. But
I was whining on
no,
the front
beyond
page.
that,
Yeah.
Sin recently lost a what I would say a consistent and well thought contributor, ex co-host. Well, not ex, but previous co-host, because you're never an ex once you're. Once you're a co-host of the Ooze, you're kind of branded with that, and you're fucked. You'll always be associated with the show because I don't delete episodes. So,
I like that. Yeah, Sin lost a good one this week. It was kind of a shock to everybody. I was sort of, yeah. I'm still
you know what
learning
was
to survive.
amazing to me was the level of fucking browbeating that came down about the whole situation. Okay, I mean, let me tell you how I saw this, and then you can just point out whatever you want to point out and whatever.
Okay.
But I remember being in seventh grade, and it was what the fuck do they call it? Intermediate flag football practice. I was playing flag football, and there were two guys on my team that had beef over a girl. Now, these two guys were just days before the best of buddies. One happened to actually play quarterback, the other one was, oh, fuck, it's been so long. I forget what position he actually played, but it was like, I don't know, wide receiver or short end or some shit. But this girl kind of got in the middle of them, this redheaded chick, and her name, I remember her name as being Jackie. I don't know what it is about the name Jackie when you put red hair to it, but they generally tend to be very manipulative females. Jackie had pitched some kind of wedge between these two, and one boy, while he insulted the other boy, through Jackie, if that makes sense. I won't actually get into the real deep nitty-gritty details of the blowjob under the bleachers or anything like that, but the one dude was really pretty pissed off about it. And these two boys proceeded to plan to have a fight off of school grounds after school was over. And that was what was said. You know, fuck you, I'll see you here after school. And What ended up happening, on the other hand, and this kind of blew me away, is these two guys, they never actually fought. Instead, all of their friends fought each other. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. There were guys Go ahead.
I was going to say, it really is the perfect analogy for what happened over that person leaving. Yeah, that's exactly what wound up happening, was that there was a big turf fight between everybody's friends, basically, while everybody else stayed out of it. It was definitely a strange phenomenon that occurred there.
Okay. Well, so this all went on, and the next day in school, the two boys were still beefing. And everybody was still kind of at each other, and it looked like shit was going to go again. And I don't know what crawled up my ass and made me decide to do this, but I kind of stood up and I said, wait a minute. What the fuck? You know, I'm just going to call one Johnny and one Jimmy. Johnny and Jimmy have a beef between each other. Nobody knows what actually happened except for Johnny, Jimmy, and Jackie. Those are the only three people that know what actually happened. And no matter which side of the story you get, from one end or the other, from Johnny, Jimmy, or Jackie, you're not going to get what actually happened. You're going to get what happened through their eyes.
Yep.
And because of that, you know, well, you really don't have a leg to stand on who was right, who was wrong. Because, you know, Johnny's over here saying, you know, that Jimmy let Jackie blow him under the bleachers when Jimmy knew that him and Jackie were going to go to the 8th grade homecoming dance together. And, you know, Jimmy's raising his hand saying, wait a minute, man, I had no idea. I thought you were kidding. You know, so what I couldn't figure out, and what I still can't figure out, is how it's anybody else's fucking business but Johnny, Jimmy, and Jackie.
I would certainly agree with you. And I think what happened in that situation, especially, and I was a part of it, was that, you know, when you quit sin, you quit a number of people, and I think that's mainly what you saw, was that a number of people were hurt by that action outside of just the person who had wronged the other person. And my position on it, which wound up getting, like, I don't know, heavily twisted and misinterpreted, was basically this simple, which is that I'm a firm believer that if you have somebody that you respect and you're close to, if you do something to them that upsets them, even if you didn't mean to upset them, you're still technically in the wrong only because you upset your friend, which was my only point, which wound up getting buried in a whole bunch of other crazy, insane crap. But that was my only point the entire time.
Well, I mean, as far as that actual position goes, you know, we don't know that the actual trigger was what Zach said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been no indication. There's been no confirmation, no public statement made by the other party involved, which, you know, I'm just going to outright say, you know, he may have had some beef with a particular trend in the behavior of the person. And regardless, one way or the other, and speak of the fucking devil, if he doesn't pop right into the chat room.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. No, that's all good, man. I just, honestly, the beef is between, you know, the person and Zach. And everybody else should stay the fuck out. Shut the fuck up and let that be done, because only those two know what really went down.
Oh, yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Like I said, my point, which I already said, was that if you're wrong, your friend feels they're wronged, you're automatically in the wrong, and you apologize, and you try to make up for it, and if you can't, you move on. I had a friend of mine one time, and you know me, who got really pissed off at me for telling them to fuck off. And I was joking.
Yeah.
Like, I even laughed after I said it. And this person went ballistic on me for, like, 30 minutes. And, like, did I think that saying fuck off jokingly is anything even remotely that could be considered a wrong thing to do? No. But I was in the wrong automatically because my friend was so upset about this. You know, and that was the point I was trying to make. That got buried, I think, in some and the other thing I think was going on there, too, was other shit from months ago that had occurred that was rising back up as well, which is sort of, you know, why I was, you know, I think why I was into it with, you know, that other person as long as I was, is because I don't think that had anything to do with the incident so much as that person doesn't like me for some reason.
Right on. So, anyway, my whole rambling here was pretty simply that the beef was between two people.
Mm-hmm.
It was no one else's fucking business. I mean,
mm-hmm.
either one person, and I won't mention which of the two, they know who they are. One person hit me up immediately to tell me what the drama was, and the other person I hadn't talked to in a couple of weeks anyway, and I wanted to drop a line to them and just see how they were doing, and I really didn't even care. That they made mild mention just because, from what I can tell, because they knew that I hadn't been around lately, and I might not know that they, you know, they had done whatever they had done. But for me, it was real simple. Is there, you know, was it a level of injustice that was beyond this particular person being able to handle themselves and therefore something I needed to step into? Or was it something that should be settled between two men like it always has been settled? And, you know, once I got the whole story, and I get the whole story by looking at both sides of it, it was real simple for me. One dude's got, you know, he's got a line, and the other dude crossed it, and he should have known what the line was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, if you've logged hundreds of hours talking to somebody,
yeah,
then, you know, you got this line, you know where that line is. It's real easy to figure out what it is that you can and can't say to a person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just go too far. But either way, I don't know the extenuating circumstances. I don't know if it's, you know, if it's as simple as what it is. And honestly, I don't give a flying fuck because I have obligation of friendship to both people one way or the other. And the
yeah.
one may be more than the other, or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
Until it's asked of me, and I have to make a decision, it's not my fucking business, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, for me, is that I'm very, very, very loyal to my friends, and both these people are my friends, so... It's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, while I can be, you know, while I can see, you know, like I said before, if you cross somebody's line and, you know, they're your friend, then you're automatically in the wrong. But beyond that, no, it's, you know, I, you know, that's why I'm, you know, I'm here. I'm still around. I'm not going anywhere. I wouldn't plan to, because at the end of the day, you know, they're both my friends, and it's, you know, it's not necessarily my thing at the end of the day, which is, you know, that's, and you know, like I said, I also can tell, too, that a lot of people are upset for their own personal reasons, me being one of them. But at the end of the day, you know, I have to move past that because, you know, I can understand that, you know, when somebody crosses your line, you have to go, period. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of how I feel about a person, I can understand them leaving for those reasons.
And what that actually kind of actually brings me to the one and only thing that I had in mind to talk about tonight, and something I don't think that we really honestly have covered outside of one episode where Dan Dredd and Mindflux actually ran through the show, and that's the idea of honor.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's been on my mind all of today, and I'm not going to get into the total drama of it, but let's just say that a person that has in one shape or form or another been in my life over the past 5 years just consistently keeps acting in a dishonorable way. And it's also inspired heavily by a recent blog that was posted by Dan Dredd. The name of the blog is Upward Spiral 2. It's
honor.
Kind of a continuation. What's that?
Oh, no, I was saying it's Upward Spiral 2, Honor. Yeah, I read that one.
Yeah. That, I mean, honestly, that's one of the things that I love about Dan is that he so totally gets what honor is. I mean, there are people who throw that word out like no tomorrow. I mean, it might as well be what's up or dude or man. But Dan, not Dan. When he says honor, he means honor. And the idea of honor, I think, is difficult for people to grasp because I think that they don't realize that honor means that at the end of the day that you can yourself, I don't know, feel at ease at the decisions that you've made because those decisions were done in an honorable fashion. They upheld a certain level of principles, whatever those principles are, those principles being your own. But it's more than that. It's something that and I find this difficult to talk about after, you know, drinking and whatever. But like I said, I've had one hell of a fucking day. It's difficult to describe, but it's something that's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple in that the level of honorableness kind of just works with the whole law of the jungle thing. But holy shit, did I lose my train of thought? I should probably close the chat room in my browser. I'm trying to read and talk, and that's just more than I'm capable of at this point. So,
I would say that blog illustrated it really well because it talked about the fact that sometimes you hit bedrock, something that's an innate part of your character that cannot possibly be, you know, washed away through, you know, any doing whatsoever, so to speak, is that, you know, this is something that is who you truly are. And that was the thing that really hit me with that blog, is that there's some things that are who you are. It's not an abstraction. It's not anything else. It's just, that's you. That's always been you. And at least to me, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, when you speak of honor, a lot of times that's what you're speaking of, is that, you know, there are people that will step outside of things that are truly who they are because they don't possess that kind of innate personal character. But on the same hand, it can be tricky because honor, most of the time, at least as I see it thrown out, especially on satanic forums, is basically a new word for morality.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from that. What I think is interesting about the word honor is what might be considered honorable for a samurai and what might be considered honorable for a medieval Celtic warrior or whatever are similar in certain aspects, but mildly vary according to the clans there. But each can understand the overall reasoning for why that particular action is considered honorable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I watch in these movies, that I think is always kind of cool is that they all understand the idea of a clean death, you know, not being left there to just bleed and suffer, but rather, you know, they've been beaten, so it's time to just finish it off, to give them that quote-unquote honorable death.
Oh, yeah, and that's something, you know, I do see what you're saying, and I think that on an individual level, what hits a code of honor varies from person to person, in that, you know, some people's lines are quite a bit different than other people's. I think it's a matter of figuring out what those are on a very definitive level, and then, you know, not going against those things because they're an innate part of your personal character.
See, I wouldn't disagree with that. What I would kind of point to is that even though we may consider them to vary from person to person, it is very easy for each person to look at somebody of a different system of quote-unquote honor and recognize the actions that are taken as being honorable. So I think that honor in itself kind of holds some form of universal understanding that may be specific to our species, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. I've actually been, I don't know, I went and reread that pedophile thread that Sin had the other day. And what I found interesting about it was the level of reaction against children being wronged at all. And as a mother, it is like an automatic and almost, you know, instinctive, no, absolutely not, children do not be harmed. And then when I was thinking about it from a more evolutionary perspective, I thought, even though these people, you know, all so many people on this thread are reacting from a moral perspective, the idea of harming children is hitting a nerve on a fundamental evolutionary level, which is that children are the next step in species. So it's quite understandable why, from an honorable perspective, there's this one guy on Sin, Ivan the Terrible, and he's, you know, he's a real advocate of, you know, he's always talking about how big of a criminal he is. But I remember he was saying, my one line is children and child molestation is what he's talking about in specific. And I was thinking to myself, I think that's really, you know, that sometimes that's where those lines of honor come from, is that they're a way to evolutionarily propagate the species in some form.
Yeah, and that's kind of sort of what I'm pointing at, and I think, because I know you can't see the chat room, but Dan Dredd just actually he said that they're specific to their source code that they were derived from, the variation between honor and I don't know, morality. The idea of honor, I think, kind of talks to the innate, fundamentals that are born into every human creature in some sense or form. And I'm not saying that people actually behave honorably, but rather saying that we all kind of have this similar sense of what is honorable to a certain extent. But
well, then,
the difference between those two things, because I know morality has kind of been proposed as being derived from a similar type of thing, that we all see the same things as kind of being wrong, as rather than seeing them as being wrong, we see them as kind of being, it's not necessarily wrong, but it's just not a desirable mode of behavior, because we recognize that that pattern in itself is, it's corrosive rather than being productive in any sense for ourselves.
Oh, yeah, and I would agree with that. I think that most RHP religions are, but their moral codes that they attach are actually manipulating that base concept of honor that sort of exists throughout the species, which, you know, and it's not anything that, and actually at the end of the day, when you look at it, really look at it, it winds up obliterating honor in its entirety and creating people that are just, you know, the complete opposite of anything that could be considered honorable at all.
You know, I think honor in itself is rooted in some form of empathy, and
mm-hmm.
I just want to kind of say that. I mean that you can put yourself, here's a good scenario for you. You have two guys that fight. One guy knocks the other guy down to the ground where he's in a semi-unconscious state. And he continues to beat him. And then when
mm-hmm.
he's done with that, as the guy tries to struggle to stand back up, he goes back forward towards him to continue to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that I know would look at that as being a dishonorable action. The guy has already suffered enough for his choice to engage in that. And the person that he's engaging against, rather than being happy with the fact that he has been triumphant, comes back over and continues to kind of rub it into the dirt, so to say, or rub it into the mud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's sort of where I'm kind of coming at with that. I think that it's something that you recognize instantly and are disgusted by it because on some level you can see yourself in either position, the guy being
mm-hmm.
beat down consistently or the guy being the beater. And
mm-hmm.
I think at that point, you know, you go, okay, wait a minute, this, you know, this has gone beyond, you know, whatever line it is in my mind that I've drawn, that is, you know, it's enough. It's just no longer something that people can clap for or be excited about.
Mhm. Well, yeah, and you know, like using your example, you know, there's a lot of people that would argue, well, you know, beating the person to death, you know, which would be the potentiality there, is actually the right thing to do. But at least for me, when you start saying that and you say, like, just continuing to beat them down, I flinch mentally because I think to myself, you know, if they're already, you know, to that point, you just sort of let it go. You know, like, I have that instant, what you're talking about there, where, like, you know, it would be considered dishonorable just keep beating the person because they're already down. You know, like I have an incident. No, you're not allowed to do that.
But, well, I mean, it kind of comes along the same way, wavelength. And, I mean, at least I've had enough to drink to be able to say this without any qualms. the same way that I don't go through and pick out every little single idiotic thing that Derek Deschaux says. You know, I know that I bested him a long time ago mentally, and he's been ass hurt from it ever since. There's just no reason to continue to stick a knife in there and kind of
mm-hmm.
you know, keep digging at it. He's already been stuck pretty good, so. I mean,
no, yeah, I saw that in a thread. He always manages to specifically mention you in some way to sort of, like, prove his point. He was on one thread. He was like, well, some people, like T.C. Downey, have completely something about the fourth way. I was like, wow, you know, he's not even going to respond to this. But, wow, you know, he's still in your head. You've never forgotten him, have you?
Oh, shit, dude. I think that he literally logs in the internet just when he thinks about either me or Jason Sorrell anymore. That's the only time he comes back on. It's just when his ass has been itching for so long in Preparation H, won't won't heal it anymore. I mean, and what it really is for him is that he had something that he really wanted. He had two people who were fairly intelligent, and Jason more so than myself. He had both these people, and they were both, you know, really working hard towards it, and he let himself fuck it up. And when you fuck something up that is what you really want, you know, like, let me see if I can explain this in another way. Back when I was, like, 17, 18 years old, I had my eyes on this Harley. It was an old panhead. I can't remember what the year was, sometime in the early 60s. A beautiful bike, just beautiful bike. And the guy that I was going to buy it from was willing to sell it to me at a really cheap price because he really liked me. You know, we'd hung out a lot. We'd party a lot. But what ended up happening was that for whatever reason, I thought it was funny to make fun of his brother. His brother had some issues with women where, well, most of the time they ended up beating him and he called the cops or whatever. And they would go to jail, but, I mean, like four girlfriends in a row, each one had ended up beating his ass. And, you know, I thought it was funny, so I would tease this dude about his brother. Well, apparently he was taking that, you know, quite to heart. And what ended up happening was I literally joked myself out of being able to buy this motorcycle from him at the price that we had agreed upon.
Okay.
And from that point on, honestly, every time that motorcycle was mentioned, it really bothered me. It really got under my skin. And he figured that out. So we would, you know, being in the same social setting, the same social group, we would be at a party or whatever, and he would just kind of nonchalantly be talking about this motorcycle that he had for sale, and every single time I would erupt in being upset about this motorcycle in one way or the other, but it manifested in different ways. I remember one night, my harp was that he only did fat chicks, which was not really the case, but, I mean, it was obviously motivated by the fact that I just couldn't buy this motorcycle from him any longer because I was an asshat. I was a douche. So,
yeah.
Story.
I like that actually. That sounds like something that I would have managed to do. I've done that before where I've managed to, you know, I don't know. I have a very, I don't know, very dark and very almost mean sense of humor. And I don't mean to, but yeah, no, I have a, you know, I've accidentally hurt people so many times. So like when you're talking about that, I'm thinking, yeah, that reminds me of, you know, and there's like so many people I could insert there. It's like, I didn't mean to, but I managed, you know, royally fuck myself in the process. I had this boss one time and, this guy was huge. I mean, he was, like, ginormous. I mean, and, like, I mean, maybe 350 pounds, barely 60, and it wasn't muscle, if you get my meaning. And
I gotcha.
And I wound up coining this joke because his last name rhymed with well. Yeah. And I wound up joking myself out of being promoted to being a general manager.
Yeah.
Where, like, he probably would have recommended me. He probably would have recommended me if I hadn't, you know, called him, you know, just one less time. He even told me that. He was like, you're the best I have. I would have recommended you for general management. But you keep calling me well, and you don't have any lines or understand that you need to respect your superiors.
And there we go. You did not have a sense of honor there.
Yeah.
You know, you did not recognize what achievements he had gone through or whatever. You didn't recognize that there was that chain of command, and that's what that was all really, really about. He was telling you to be more honorable.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
poking
fun of somebody because of something that is inherently obvious about them, it is relatively dishonorable in my thing. I mean, if everybody knows you're a fucking retard, the last thing anybody wants to see is somebody else making a drooling joke about you repeatedly.
Oh, no, exactly. I was actually really young when this happened. It was a pretty big lesson for me where it was like, you know, if somebody's your better somehow, you know, like they've actually got like some position of authority over you, keep your fucking mouth shut. Like, I think I learned that. I don't know. I was about 22 when I had that job. I learned that the hard way.
Right on. Well, I mean, just real quick, I know we haven't said the other person's name in context tonight or whatever, but I just wanted to kind of make mention that if leaving sin means that this person shows up at the ooze again more often, then maybe it's a great thing that that's happened.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, I agree. Hello, Dan.
Right.
Yeah,
on.
No, I think it'll, I don't know. I mean, voids get filled eventually, so I suspect that, you know, sin will sort of, you know, absorb this hole and, you know, move on. I personally, and I'm drunk too, so you get this here. I personally am quite upset, but that's, you know, due to my, you know, relationship with said person. So I'll move on eventually.
Right.
I'll get over it.
Well, not that the intellectual level hasn't plummeted there,
mm-hmm.
On sin forms, but in all honesty, to me, it's all about whatever it takes for that particular person to feel like they have held to feel like they have held their lines. They've, you know,
mm-hmm.
put their heels in and said, no, this is where the fucking line is. That's more important to me than any other benefit around there.
No,
because
and
I honestly think that,
agree.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think that there's too many people that are willing to go, that happen, oh well, and throw their hands up in the air and whatever. But no, I mean, fuck that. To kind of wrap back around to why we're really talking about this tonight, you know, I drew the line in the sand about 3.5 years ago, and that line, you know, it's been crossed over and over and over again, and it's about time for, you know, it's about time for me to kind of lay that same kind of application in there, because it's no longer going to fly for my situation, for this person to continue to cross the line with me. It's time for them to be dealt swift retribution. And so that's really what kind of popped this thought into my mind. I mean, I've just had a bitch of a day, obviously, if I'm, you know, drinking and talking on the news. Well, I don't always have a bitch of a day to do that, but today in particular, that's why that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, too, at least for me, that I learned is that, you know, at least from the situation, is that, you know, I can respect the reasons the person left. And honestly, if it's the end of what sin is, well, it wasn't that strong to begin with. If it continues on, and I think it will, you know, like, I actually was looking at the forums today, and I was sort of laughing because, like, people that have not posted in months are now posting regularly. And I was like, well, all right, you know, maybe that void will get filled by somebody, you know, somewhere. And, you know,
right.
But yeah, no, I that's one thing I learned from this is that, no, you have to have definitive lines in the sand and you have to keep them, you know, but at the same time, they can't be born out of something that's, you know, not inherently you, which is where,
right.
You know, it's a really, it's a really fine line there at the end of the day, you know, is that, you know, is it inherently you, or is it something that you were spoon-fed from birth? That's a really strange sort of territory to go into because, you know, a lot of times you find out those lines that existed don't really exist, but sometimes they really do.
But I agree. They do, and they absolutely should.
Yeah.
On a bright note, because we got about 3 minutes left. On a bright note, now that this particular person has receded from sin, I can actually get back to posting because there won't be somebody who's already said my thoughts every single time I read a thread. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's no longer I agree. I'll be able to actually say, no, you're a fucking idiot.
I had that today where I was like, oh, they haven't commented yet, so I get the chance to. Yay.
Exactly.
Without, you know,
I mean,
without being called a cheerleader, because that's what everybody wants to do all the time. That's and like for me at least, that's probably the most ironic thing is that I was realizing that the other day. It was like, you know, as much as I love this guy, at the same time there's been such a, well, you know, this idea that I'm this person's sycophant, the fact that I'm, you know, I'm still around, and not only that, but I can still hold my own. I didn't need that person to begin with. That actually kind of makes me feel good because I'm hoping that, you know, it'll shut some of the haters up.
Now, I mean, we've only got about a minute left, so I'm going to say this out real quick. But Dan Dredd, in my opinion, has done a world of good for your psyche. So,
yeah, I agree.
Even though I believe you could have held your own, you are much better off having had the chance to kind of,
yep.
You know, be mentored a little from him, so.
I certainly agree with that. That's something that, I don't know. How many people can say they were mentored by Dan Dredd? Not many, you know. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one.
well, Dan might actually stab me for saying that, but I'm not scared, so.
No, yeah, no, it's true. I've always said that from the beginning, which is that, honestly, if he hadn't been around when I first started, I probably would have been ass hurt and ran off sin long before I ever actually did anything. So, you know, I mean, it was within a couple weeks that he kind of, you know, said, you're my favorite female Satanist. And that sort of, at least for a long time, that was pretty important and it was very, very helpful. So, I'll always be grateful for that.
Right on. Well, again, I'm not scared. And with that, we're out of time. Let's get the hell out of here.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
I will.